You are Locked On the NBA, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome to your favorite day of the week. I'm Anthony Irwin. I have woken up from my coma eating too much candy from Halloween. Adam has candy in his mouth as we're recording right now.
Hi, everybody.
Adam, what's your favorite candy? What are you eating?
I was eating a Sour Patch Kids, but I think Skittles Sour is the best candy there is.
The best candy is Skittles Sours. See, I can't stand analytics, so my favorite candy, I like eating Nerds. I eat them alive on my timeline, and I eat them alive.
Oh my gosh, on my timeline.
I'm kidding.
You just don't know how to do math, and that's really what it comes down to.
Look, man, if I don't have a calculator. Today's show is going to be a fun one. We were going to focus on the games, the TNT games, and usually that's what we're going to do, but Anthony Davis didn't play in the game against Portland, and
boring.
The Bucks and Celtics, it was a fun matchup, and we can touch on it as we go along, but I don't know. I kind of figured we wanted to take a larger scope view on this, seeing as last episode was a singular game that we focused on for the first two segments. So what we're going to do today, and you can find the show everywhere that you find podcasts. Today, what we're going to do is we're going to take L's in the first segment, hand out a couple L's in the segment. I'll explain that as we go along. In the second segment, we are going to take a couple bows on some positive predictions that we had heading into the season. And then we're going to hand out some applause. We're going to clap a little bit for teams that have pleasantly surprised us, or players that have pleasantly surprised us. So, and then in the final one, we're going to introduce a new segment that we're going to be running throughout the year. We're going to eliminate four playoff teams each, and we'll
four contenders.
Yeah, four of these teams are just, they have no chance.
No chance. They're already eliminated from championship contention.
Don't even watch the rest of the season, fans of those teams. But please listen to the show. Today, though, let's start here by taking our RLs. And the first the first L that I'm going to take on this season, and I think I'm not nearly alone on this, but the Portland Trailblazers are fourth in the league right now in net rating, and just about everybody considered them a likely candidate, maybe the likely candidate for regression, and I have really enjoyed the way that they have played this year. Though, yeah, I really like the way that they've played this year.
Yeah, you know, you and me both, we both are taking an L on Portland early, and it is early. I mean, obviously, that's the huge caveat to all of these, but they do look good. I mean, some of their role players have really started to come through. I think Zach Collins is really good. Nurkic had a strong showing tonight, albeit against an undermanned New Orleans team, but you knew Damian Lillard and what he could do. You knew CJ McCollum, but it's the other guys that have stepped up and sort of made them a good team.
Absolutely. I really like the roster from the standpoint of they know what they are. Like I think this kind of gets overlooked all the time, where teams that make changes in the offseason get a whole bunch of pub for making those changes. But some, like, there is a value in just carrying some things over that you considered positives from the year before. And I think we kind of saw that with this Portland Trailblazers team. And yes, it has been early, and other things might happen along the as we go along this season. But so far, so good. What's your first L that you're taking?
Well, so I also had Portland in there, so I just kind of have to I have to take that one right there alongside you. But the other one is De'Aaron Fox, and he's a guy that I was really low on coming into the draft. I thought the athletic tools, physical tools were there. I thought he'd be a good NBA player as a defender, but I just thought offensively he was always going to be a problem. Tonight he had a monster triple double. And he's just a guy who's his offensive game, and in particular his shot and his shooting off of the dribble has really looked improved. I think he's a player. I think he's actually a legitimately good prospect that will be a very solid starting point guard.
Do you think the Kings will put up a banner for a 6-3 start?
You know what, though? Good for them. I hope they do. You know, you and your smugness coming there from Hollywood. Look, some of these teams have to celebrate the small victories, and I think for them, nobody saw them getting off to this start, and a lot of it goes to De'Aaron Fox. By the way, I really like the De'Aaron Fox Buddy Hield combo. I think both of those guys sort of second sons in a lot of ways. Like, there were other players in their class that outshined them, or were more, or you know, maybe have a higher profile. Both of those guys seem to fit together really nicely.
Second son also kind of can be used to describe Marvin Bagley. And
yeah, a little bit. I can see it, I guess.
Well, because Luka was seen by so many people as the popular pick, they, you know, they should have traded whatever move that they should have made, and they, people thought that they might have reached a little bit for him, and based on stuff that I've seen from Sacramento, he's all right. He's been pretty good.
Yeah, they're still wrong about Doncic. Yeah. Still would take Doncic 100 times out of 100.
Hey, so Doncic when he's not guarded by Brandon Ingram. All right, my next L here that I'm going to take, I was going to say I'm going to lump in, just kind of like you did with the Portland thing, I'm going to lump in the Kings as a general L. I don't think anybody saw them starting 6-3. Yeah. So again, good for them in that respect. The Los Angeles Clippers, though, I didn't think they were going to be competitive at all this year. And they aren't, you know, anything to write home about, but they are at least competitive. And in that respect, I'll take that L.
Yeah. It's a good one. Now we can hand out an L.
Let's hand out our L's. You go first.
I'm going to give my first L to the Utah Jazz defense.
Oof.
This is a team that, by all accounts, and it's real early. Anytime you talk about net ratings and per 100 possessions, these things can swing so wildly. Uh-huh. But they have been a league average defense so far, mm-hmm. which I find really interesting because, in my opinion, they run 10 deep with defensive players. So the Utah Jazz defense, off to a cold start, they get an L.
This is an L that I think everybody is taking, and I know I talk too much about the Lakers. But their center rotation, like if they just had a single able-bodied NBA caliber backup center, they would be sitting amongst, I don't know, they'd be in the playoffs, I think. They'd be right now, they'd be in that discussion, and they just aren't. And it was such a disaster on the front office's part to not foresee such an obvious gaping hole in their roster construction. Any more else that you want to hand out?
I'm going to hand out an L to Miles Turner, and this is a weird one because he's been okay, but I just, you know, I think that he is a guy who I like Sabonis better in that front court, and a lot of people expected Miles Turner to have this year where he really breaks out. I always thought his game was a little bit too not one-dimensional, but you know, it wasn't as well-rounded, and to me he's a guy that I think really has a lower ceiling. I have a lower ceiling on him than I think most people do.
Yeah. Yeah, Sabonis, I was watching their game the other night, and he was finishing everything. He was really...
He's an incredible player.
Yeah.
He's scoring more points right now. Sabonis per 36, 23 points. Miles Turner, 15.3. It's just it's interesting. If I was building the team, Sabonis is probably the guy I would pick over Turner.
He's definitely easier to slot onto a good team. Like, I feel like with Turner, you have to kind of build around that skill set, whereas Sabonis, he's just a big who rolls hard to the basket. You could find a spot for that anywhere.
He's out-rebounding him and outscoring him in five fewer minutes per game.
All right, we're going to take a quick second here, and when we come back, we're going to take a couple bows, pat ourselves on the back, be super smug about things that we got right heading into the season. All right, Adam, you and I this was funny. It was hard for us to kind of like figure out what our predictions were heading into this year. Like, my number one prediction was we're going to have a lot of fun watching the NBA this year. And
you could really went out on a limb on that one, Anthony. Your predictions are always, man, such a bold guy. Go to Anthony for the takes, everybody.
My limbs are basically like 8x4s.
Let's give applause first. I want to take a bow last because it'll be a fun to put a bow on it. The first one I'd give applause to, Kemba Walker. I mean, what a year he's having.
Yeah.
41.4% from the three-point line on 10 attempts per game.
Insane.
10. He is shooting 10 threes per game, and he is making 41% of them. He is a 7.6 box plus minus right now, which is almost double his previous career average. He has the highest free throw attempt rate of his career and the best true shooting percentage. He's just off to an incredibly hot start.
I really hope they don't trade him, or that he stays there the entirety of his career, or for a good chunk of his prime. Like, he was legitimately downtrodden. Remember last year when trade rumors started popping up?
Yeah. And yes. He wanted
really,
to be there.
Yeah, he really deeply cares about that city. So that just makes this early run this year all that more special. My bit of applause that I want to hand out is to the Toronto Raptors, who have hit the ground running this year in ways that I didn't think they were going to be capable of.
You should have took an L on that one.
I probably should have. I really they were. I you can look.
Yeah, no hard. Yeah, no problem finding L's. It took him 20 minutes to find a bow, but he could have had a long list of L's.
My number one positive prediction was fun. But I've had people in my mentions this year asking if the Lakers should put together a trade or just get all the kids together and send them off to Toronto to see if they can trade for Kawhi. Why would Toronto trade away this guy right now? They've done enough to convince him to stick around this early stretch, and really that's all that matters for them this year.
I don't even think that's all that matters. They have a chance at a championship, and I know the Warriors still exist, so talking about it's crazy, but Is there really any doubting at this point that the Toronto Raptors couldn't go toe-to-toe with anybody other than the Warriors? I just think that they can. And then, you know, you put yourself in that position, anything's possible.
Yeah, absolutely. It was really a bummer the other night where we didn't get – was it
– I think yeah, it was Milwaukee. Milwaukee, Toronto.
Yeah, that we didn't get to see that matchup as we should have been able to. What's your next bit of applause that you want to hand out?
I have to give some to Derrick Rose for 50 points. I mean, it was funny. A lot of people took to Twitter to kind of – a lot of players saying, oh, you guys counted him out. I did. So I have to – you know, I have to kind of give applause there. I did not think he had a 50-point night in him. And, you know, just some of the stories about how hard he'd worked and some of the doubt and stuff. I like when athletes are honest about – you know, certain aspects of their doubt and this or that. And he really did, you know, go through a period where I think he doubted if he'd ever play again. So to score 50, you know, that was impressive.
Look, we kind of sort of have to mention the stuff that's going on in his legally for him moving forward. If we're going to talk about this, if we're going to talk about, you know, him and his character and working hard and all those things, look, he has stuff coming in this next very month from that background, and you should Google that stuff if you really want to look into it. But I, while with that being said, it's hard not to feel for the guy when he broke down talking in immediately after the game, and you could just see the pain on across his face and in his eyes and all that. That meant a ton to him, and you know he deserves credit for that effort in the very least. I have. Let's take our bows. You ready for this?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right. I'll take my first bow, and my first bow to myself. I'll pat myself on the back. But I didn't think Houston was going to be very good this year. You want it? let's look at this. And you mentioned earlier that net ratings at this point of the season don't really matter all that much.
Well, they matter. They just can fluctuate.
They can
very quickly.
They can. And this will probably make its way up at some point. But as it stands right now, the Houston Rockets are ranked 28th in net rating. 28th! They have a negative 10.3 net rating. That's insane. No, they were an 0-for-27 stretch away from being in the finals and probably eventually winning a finals, and they're a disaster this year.
How far back? I mean, here's the thing is nobody's predicting they're going to miss the playoffs, right? Not after the season that they had.
Well,
but the West is so loaded that how much longer can this go on? Like 1-5, okay, they can come back. 2-10? Like it's just the longer this slump goes on, the more their odds just plummet in the Western Conference.
It makes all the more sense after this stretch, this early start, that Daryl Morey is out there like, I'll give you 4 first round picks. Do whatever it takes. I need Jimmy Butler in my life because this team is they're not good. I don't think, because I think eventually they're going to make a move and they're going to figure it out eventually that they'll get back into the playoff picture. But man, I don't know about this team. I really don't know. All right, what's your first bow?
I'm going to take a bow on the Thunder not being very good without Andre Robertson. And I know, you know, this was one of the things I was big on this summer with them was when the news came in that he was going to take several months, I just thought their ceiling is capped. That he is such a – I know he's not the most important or even second, third most important player, but he really is a piece that binds them all together. So OKC to me – as much as they have two very talented players and a third in Steven Adams, they're not a very good team because they're missing they have a giant hole in their roster.
Absolutely. I've been surprised the impact his absence has had on the offense. Like, he's not a good shooter. He's not very good offensively, but he was very good at timing cuts. He has pretty good instincts in handling that. And it's just lacking. You watch the other guys who were taking his minutes, and they just kind of float around there. And you need somebody to be able to make something happen off the ball because Russ dominates it so much.
Yeah. They're a team to watch. I still think they're going to be a playoff team, but Robertson missing that much time just lowers them.
I'll ask this to you. If you had to put a substantial amount of money on either Houston or OKC not making it into the playoffs,
that's a good question.
Who are you gambling on? Who feel confident that they'll make it over the other?
I would still bet on the Houston Rockets. I think that's still the safer bet. James Harden, I think the best, probably the I don't know, the most impactful regular season player there. So I would still go Houston.
I'd go OKC.
Wow.
I'd go OKC. All right. My last bow here is going to be on the Milwaukee Bucks. I thought they were going to be good. I really like the Brook Lopez signing. He's leading the league right now in net rating. I think that kind of speaks to just how great a fit he is. If you were to just list attributes of the center that you have on Giannis's team, guy who doesn't need his own rebounds, just blocks out and allows Giannis to get boards and go, spaces the floor in the half court on the other end of the court. That was a great signing.
He's a good player.
It was a great signing, and Bud has been really good there. Do you have any more bows to take?
I'm going to take a bow. This is my favorite bow. Defense is overrated. I know this is a crazy take. I've been saying this for a while, that especially in the regular season, the NBA is getting to a point where I really believe this, where the offense is just so good and there's so many good shooters and so many talented players that there's no perfect defense. And then, of course, the rule changes, even making it even harder to defend at a high level. I really do think the good offensive teams are going to be the teams that, at least in the regular season, it's just so valuable to be able to score.
I didn't realize my co-host was now Jabari Parker. That's really exciting.
There is a limit, I guess, to this theory for sure.
All right, we're going to take a quick second. And when we come back, we are going to eliminate four teams each from the playoff picture. They're gone. I can't believe you just said half the game just doesn't matter.
It's overrated.
Oh man, that was incredible. That I did not see that coming at all.
I'm so excited for it too.
I'm really happy I wasn't drinking any water when you said that, because I wouldn't needed a towel. All right, the moment we've all been waiting for. We're gonna send some teams fishing right now. We're gonna have four teams each. They don't have to be two from each conference, right? Just four teams, and we can figure that out.
Yeah, we're eliminating them from not playoff contention, Anthony. Remember, we're eliminating them from championship contention. Yeah. Because this will go on throughout the course of the season. We'll be down to just two teams. So my first team, I am eliminating them. The Phoenix Suns will not win the 2019 NBA championship. I am on record.
You know, Adam, I come to you for hot takes. And on this one, on this occasion, you did not let me down. I am also eliminating the Phoenix Suns from title contention. My next one. You ready for a hot one? The Houston Rockets will not win an NBA championship this year.
We clearly have two different approaches here. You're counting them out. Daryl Morey,
they're gone.
Trades.
Nope.
You never know what could happen.
Nope. I don't trust this team, man. I think they legitimately peaked last year with roster construction and the way the pieces fit. This is a very hot take. But when you go from Trevor Ariza to Carmelo Anthony, and you're talking about fit alongside Chris Paul and James Harden, like, I don't think you can find a player who fits worse than Carmelo Anthony does.
Well, they have the fourth worst net rating, as you mentioned, which is pretty crazy. But that's still not as crazy as eliminating them in week two. My next one, I went Western Conference first. I'm going to the East for the rest of these ones. I think the worst team in the NBA right now, the Cleveland Cavaliers. Oof. They are not going to, you know what? LeBron led them to the finals last year. I think they're going to be pretty far from that this year.
I think I saw a tweet heading into the season that, like, the Cleveland Cavaliers are coming off six straight finals appearances. And I'm like, there's an important asterisk to add to that.
Misleading title, yeah.
All right, so that's a good one. I'm going to eliminate the Atlanta Hawks from title contention this year.
I've got them too, so I'm also eliminating them.
Yep. Look, they're very obviously in rebuild mode. Dwayne Dedman isn't going to finish the season with that team this year. And what's going to be interesting to see is whether they can net something in return for him or just wind up having to buy him out. I really think some contender couldn't use Dwayne Dedman on their team. He's good in my opinion.
Yeah, they have some nice pieces. I mean, they have some things there, but they certainly look to be in stage one of a very long rebuild. They'll probably be in the stage for a couple of years. But you know what? A couple, you know, a Cam Reddish or a who's the other guy from Duke? Not Zion, but
It's not Jonte, right? Jonte isn't Missouri and he's hurt.
Yeah, Jonte, and he just blew his ACL and MCL. This is a shame that I'm RJ Barrett.
There you go.
You know, RJ Barrett. You can fit along there and all of a sudden your rebuild is running swimmingly. So but I am eliminating them as well. They're not gonna win it.
All right. I think you need one more.
I've got one for you. It is for the 40th year in a row, the New York Knicks will not win the NBA championship. More than that, I should have done the math. It's like 50 years.
1972, right? So it's like what?
Oh, look at it. Here it goes. Analytics.
No,
nope. We've got Anthony doing some analytics.
I don't got it. I shouldn't. I just should have shut up. I'll say 56 years, right? I think it's 56 or 46 or something like that. All right, my last team here. This is another hot take. This is probably going to come across as hot takey again. The Washington Wizards are not going to win the championship this year.
No, this one's not a hot take. I think this one is 100% accurate. I mean, they could rally and get into the playoffs or something like that. But right now, they have do they have the worst defense in all of the NBA? I think statistically they
feels
might.
Like it.
Yeah. Nope, they do. They are allowing 122.6 points per 100 possessions. They are going to be eliminated next week for sure for me.
You know what you really want to add to any team that has chemistry issues?
What? Dwight Howard?
Dwight Howard. He's a literal pain in the rear right now. Here's the thing. John Wall the other day had a quote that I didn't really like from a point guard, and he said something along the lines of, and I'm paraphrasing, that they have guys on their roster who are complaining about the number of shots that they're getting instead of focusing on the things that they need to do to make the team better. If that's Otto Porter and you're the point guard, maybe listen. Maybe maybe listen and don't take a shot back at him in the media, because that's as a point guard's job. Like that, if you're trying to manage a team, and at this stage of John Wall's career, he should have the maturity to kind of recognize, all right, maybe some of these guys do have a point. And the fact that he didn't, that makes me nervous. And this is the year before, mind you, he's about to start getting paid $40 million a season.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not a good team. They're not in a good spot, and I think they would be wise to sort of start over. They have a few trade pieces that they could move to really start a rebuild, but yep. What are they doing? Where are they going? They're actually a depressing team. They're significantly worse than they should be. And that's, you talked earlier about continuity. They have too much. They actually have gone stale, and and it's time to move on.
They're the opposite of the Portland Trailblazers, which actually I remember somebody writing that at the end of last season, that like the Portland Trailblazers were, you know, this team that kind of surprised people, and let's see how things turn out with that team. And the Washington Wizards were a team that has always underperformed and always take shots at each other and always talk way too much for a team that has had the amount of success that they've had. And here they are. And there they go, hopefully. Do you have any more? I think that's it.
Nope, that's it.
All right, so that'll do it for this edition of the Friday episode of the Locked On NBA podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I host Locked On Lakers. That was Adam Mattis. He hosts Locked On Nuggets. Make sure you guys check out both of those shows. Have a great rest of your weekend, and we will talk to you a week from now.
Goodbye, everybody.